Welcome, everybody, to a haunted episode of RP Grinders, episode 561. I am your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold. Did you guys hear that? That was weird. Like, I hit a button and, like, our review cue went on. It sounded really kind of creepy. I don't know. I kind of liked it. But anyways, gentlemen, we got a big show today.
Well, Break did say Skype was trying to kill him, so it's trying to communicate.
You know, it would be the day.
I didn't want to say that on the air. You know, I didn't want them to know.
Yeah, yeah.
But now they know that I know. Now I'm in more trouble.
They're out to get you. The Skype gremlins are out to get you, Breakman. It's going to be a huge show today. We got an interview with Craig from Drop Bear Bites Studio. It's an interesting name for a video game company. We'll be talking to him about that. And the upcoming game, Broken Roads, which we commented on last week, Breakman. You and your awesome Australian kind of accent and all that stuff. But I don't know if you guys, like, had a chance to look at the trailer for the game. But it's a traditional turn-based RPG, which we hardly ever get anymore. So it's a post-apocalyptic...
I hesitate. Like Fallout, but like modern era.
Yeah, kind of a modern Fallout isometric type.
But what me and Frank were really interested was there were so many moral choices and stuff like that. That it sounds like an adult video game, and that's something me and you scream for all the time.
We always talk about that, but we'll be talking about Craig a lot more in detail. We got him coming up in about. Oh, about 50 minutes or so, we'll get a hold of Craig and talk Broken Road. So it's going to be a fun show. We're going to have a good time today, I have a feeling.
It's
but
Roads.
Yeah, Broken Roads.
Wait a minute. That's
Broken Roads. Oh, that's a different song. Sorry, I was thinking Country Roads. That's, you know, completely different. But without further ado, let's get into the news, guys.
RPG News.
All right, Eric, you got the first news story.
Okay, the first news story comes from RPG Site, and it's about how Dark Devotion for consoles has a release date. PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch on October 24th. Nothing about an Xbox One version, but I'm sure that will be coming sometime next year.
This game's been getting quite a bit of hype. The reviews are in. They seem slightly more favorable than not favorable. But for the people that can't see the trailer that are listening, it's basically I hate the term Souls-like, but it's the best way to describe this side-scroller.
I'm sure they took lessons from what the Death's Gambit tried to do and improved on it.
Yeah, it sort of reminds me of a Blasphemous, but maybe a bit harder.
More pixely.
Yeah, definitely more pixely. Which the pixel art looks great on it, and it's if you like that kind of style of game, it looks like a go. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I think I'll catch it on the sale later on to give it a try, but. Man, it looks like a really tough game. It looks like the type of game that I would play for about maybe a couple hours and then decide that I'm not good enough to play. So there you go, which is probably like, you know, 90% of games out there, you know.
but you can level up, right? Get stronger. Like that's, you know, part of the thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So why would you quit if you're getting stronger, you know? That'd be...
Yeah, Blasphemous is more of a Metroidvania because there are no level ups, but
yeah, yeah.
But you can improve the strength of your weapon.
Yeah.
So there you go, Frank. Like yeah. That's the point. Like an old school RPG, you get stronger.
That is definitely my out, Breakman. Like if there's a chance that you know you can level up to kind of overpower your opponents, then you know I'm all for it. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. But if it's too much, it's just too much for me. You know, I've learned over the years, my limitations as a gamer. I'm no, you know, dungeon buster when it comes to gaming, or for that matter, Free Five.
We all know you failed at Kirby's Air Ride.
How do you fail at Kirby's Air Ride?
How dare you?
Frank did it.
How dare you, Wake Man? I'll have you know that I was good at Kirby Air Ride. Okay, one button is all it took, and I did it. So there you go. Breakman, next story, please.
You know what? We talked more about that last story than they wrote about it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Anyway, next. Coming to us live from, let me see, Silicon Era, Corpse Party 2, a dead patient will get you... I'm sorry. Dead patient will let you check into its hospital on October 23rd, 2019. Yeah. So just in a couple weeks, a long-awaited Corpse Party game is finally rising up to join the living. I like this writer. This is Jenny again. Corpse Party 2 Dead Patient is about to make its PC debut. XE Games will bring it to Humble Store, GOG, and Steam on October 23rd. I just fucking said that. It will be £9.99, £8.99, or €9.99. Though a 10% discount will be going on to the 29th. How come it's not going on until till the Halloween? To hell.
I don't know.
Smarter. Corpse Party 2 Dead Patient stars Ayame, a young woman who finds herself just typo there. Finds herself trapped in Amare Patriarcha Cruxis Hospital. I can see that happening on like today's modern like spell checks. Like they like the word correctness.
When we
make one typo, they'll give us the wrong word and then they don't notice it.
I hate that shit, man.
So you get a word spelled right, just not write the right word at all.
Yeah, for sure.
Though she's not the only one, as some familiar faces from the past games may appear, it is up to players to try and help her find out what is going on and escape. Ayame's story kicks off a whole new...
Ayame.
I said that.
You said Ayame.
Ayame, sorry. Stories kick off a whole new original adventure in the same world with more chapters promised. That's cool.
Yeah.
This isn't the only entry in the series to appear in October 2019. Another Corpse Party game has just appeared on new platforms. Corpse Party Blood Drive. Direct sequel to Corpse Party and Corpse Party Book of Shadows. Which is a direct sequel to Corpse Party or Corpse Party Book of Shadows?
I think it's Book of Shadows, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. See.
Yeah.
Shame on her. It's now available on Nintendo Switch and PC. It is... Yumi Shinozaki decides to return to Heavenly Host Elementary to attempt to undo every tragedy that happened to the people she loved in the first game. That sounds like a... Wow, Heavenly Host Elementary School. That definitely sounds like a school in Ohio. It's $19.99 American dollars, £17.99 or €19.99. And there's a 10% discount through the 16th, so just five more days.
Yeah.
And there
technically, Dead Patient is episode one. So, like, you're only getting the first episode because they decided to make it an episodic and they haven't done episode two through whatever yet.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, that's kind of, ooh.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sometimes they don't get completed. That's risky.
And the first episode took a long time to come to the West because it had a bunch of bugs that they had to fix.
Well, that sucks. Shame on them and their bugs. Were they bed bugs or?
I just hope all the technical problems of Blood Drive have been excised in the PC and Switch releases. It kind of sucks because I didn't even know about the Switch release until it launched on the PC. So I got a PC code, so now I have to edit my my submission from a request and hope they give me a Switch version as well.
Yeah, hopefully they do, man. That'd be nice. The Corpse Party games are freaky, to say the least. I can't think of very many more games that get under your skin like the Corpse Party game. So,
but I also need to play Book of Shadows and the Hachiko's Sadistic Birthday or whatever it was called, Hysteric Birthday.
Yeah,
I can't wait till they make Corpse Party Dating Simulator.
You want to date a corpse, Brick?
No, that's the dating simulator. Like it's you, never mind.
Freak 5 says, not sure if you talked about it last week, but Elder Scrolls Online has an event going on. Every 5 dragons you kill, they donate $1 to an animal shelter. So that's really neat.
Murder.
Yeah. How dare you kill those dragons, Freak 5?
Virtual dragon murder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It's like whale clubbing, but for dragons.
Whale clubbing. So that's the news this week. Shortened news cycle.
That's whale killing and seal clubbing. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. No homie discounts this week, unless you guys have anything that you came across. Did either of you come across anything super special regarding that?
The only thing I know is Xbox will be giving out it's next week, Friday the 13th.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Okay, so let's move on.
God, here it comes.
Yep.
No, I wasn't talking about that.
You weren't talking about that?
No.
Oh, MXC's here.
Yeah, that.
MXT is in chat. He says, I'm here to make grinders great again. We were never not great, MXT. How dare you? You're exiled. See, he just gets in and he gets exiled. But Dear Breakman, do we have anything in the Dear Breakman segment?
Mm-hmm. Dear right. Breakman? What are you about to say, Eric?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. Nothing. We do have a Dear Breakman. The first time in a long time. This comes from Bernie at RP Grinders. If you had to pick a fetish, what would it be? Let's see how dirty the grinders get, Dear Breakman.
Oh, look at this.
Well, that's not really advice. That's more like just asking us. I guess you could ask us our opinion too. Yeah, you don't really always have to ask advice.
But, right.
So we only get one fetish, basically.
Like sexual fetish, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Not some other weird, like, you like the taste of chalk or some shit. No.
Yeah.
Sex fetish.
Or like, you like to put cotton on the top of your head or, you know, stupid shit like that. Okay, yeah, Eric, let's start with Eric. If you had to pick a fetish, what would it be?
I'm refraining.
That's so fun.
Okay.
I'm going to start by eliminating fetishes. Let me see here.
Okay.
Diaper wearing fetishes.
Okay. What about foot fetish?
Yes, that can be eliminated too. Good,
okay.
Good call, Frank.
All right.
That's we got rid of two bad ones right away.
Oh, right.
Awesome.
On. Yeah.
Piss fetish or not? Like piss and shit fetish.
Yeah, I'm definitely not into either of those things for sure. But that, you know, more power to the people that are into that type of stuff. Right.
And like the people who are into urine play, like, okay, you're fine, you don't bother me. But the people who are in the shit play, like, you get away from me. Like, what? No.
You could get really sick from that shit, literally.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Like, from what I've heard, from what I've heard on Howard Stern, like, they have to take medicine to be able to do that.
Oof, yeah.
It's like the shit eaters, there's special medicine they need to take, yeah.
Yeah.
A fart fetish. Freaks adding gross ones to it.
I got breaking news here.
What's that?
Apparently there's going to be a vinyl record, a Mega Man 1 through 11 collection.
Oh,
yeah, I saw that.
Nice. So you've eliminated some breakdown.
It's vinyl records.
MXT says Frank's fetish is bathing in a tub full of oatmeal and Donald Trump pictures. How dare you? You're exiled again. Are you trying to beat Freak 5's record?
So, like, jeez. You get, like, paper cuts from the pictures, and then you get the oatmeal in your wounds or something?
God.
That sounds brutal.
Ugh, MXT.
I'm pretty sure that I get more than enough mental trauma just from the pictures of Donald Trump alone. And then in my haste to throw them away, then I get the paper cuts, right?
Oh, God. Yeah, exactly. So you've eliminated some, Breakman. Any more you want to eliminate before we get
I know I can eliminate some more, but I'm thinking if I had to only pick one, like there's – but we should talk about the good fetishes. Let me see. What are good fetishes?
What about tickle fetish, Breakman? You into tickling?
No.
No. Yeah, me neither.
Tickle my penis maybe. Not – by tickle, okay. I mean like –
Boiling is a fetish.
What about food play? Are you into, like, you know, like food and stuff like that?
No, I think food should not be in the bedroom. I know there are a lot of people that like it, but
I guess it kind of depends on what type of food, right? Like, if you're talking, like, chocolate syrup or honey or that shit gets, like, real
smell. I guess, like, chocolate syrup would be okay, and maybe, like, Cool Whip would be okay. But, like, anything else is just, I don't know. Even still, like, I just... No.
Yeah.
I don't want all that sticky stuff on.
I hear you.
You're a fuck you. Kick Freak from chat now. Get him out of here. Horrible. No, I'm not even saying the horrible word.
Freak 5 says little person fetish. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. And Freak 5.
The one before it.
Freak 5 says his favorite is sounding.
Why did you have to say it?
What? I give the people what they want to break, you know?
God.
All right, so...
I can't... okay, let me see here. What other fetishes are really good?
Freak 5 likes pegging, too.
Pegging fetish.
Yeah.
Okay. That's nice to know. He didn't say that, so I'm wondering how you know.
Well, I mean, that was what was implied, right? That's where he was going next.
Now, what about a planking sex fetish?
Oh God, planking.
That sounds weird.
It does sound weird.
What about like a lingerie fetish, like a stocking fetish, something like that?
Oh, okay. So you're like a leg person with the stockings.
Like a schoolgirl. Okay. Oh yeah. See, Mrs. Breakman gets me. Schoolgirl.
Oh, school.
Oh, there's. You know what, Breakman? That's a great one.
Cosplaying as the Power Rangers then? Exclusively.
Power Rangers fetish. Tall women. Wow. Freak
like,
five.
Just, there has to be somebody for Power Rangers fetish. There has to be.
Yeah,
they have to dress up as the various characters from Power Rangers when they sex.
they will only have sex with the Pink Ranger.
I know. I was gonna say if they're dressed up like the Pink Ranger, I'm good with that. But you brought up something interesting. What about like chicks that dress up as nuns and like schoolgirls?
Yeah, I'm not really. The nun thing isn't, no.
The nun thing is
hot.
I
feel for most people is the dominating the nun part.
I love the nun thing.
I think because I'm not Catholic. If I was Catholic, maybe I'd have some sort of fetish like that.
Yeah. It like ties into the corruption fetish because like they're fucking a nun and they're corrupting the nun.
I had a great aunt that was a nun. So like I just, so nun thing is never like, it's never.
Oh man, some of the nun pictures I've seen, Breakman. I mean, it might change your mind.
I don't like the sexy nurse thing too.
Oh,
but you're
I like
right.
That.
There are a lot of costumes out there that make anything look sexy. Like there's a Mr. Rogers outfit now, like sexy outfit.
Really?
You haven't seen that one yet?
No, I have not seen that.
Oh, you need
one.
To Google that and put it on the screen for everyone to see, Frank.
Yeah. You know what I should? Let me look that up while you
woman in a police uniform, that's not bad. Like,
there was a nun at the Ghost concert.
There was a nun at the Ghost concert. Although
not
she
a
wasn't
sexy nun, though.
She wasn't very hot, but you know, I'm just saying.
Was she into the music? Is she there for it?
Look at this. Oh, wow. I like this sexy nun. I'm going to put these. I can put these on screen because there's, like, no nudity and stuff like that. So, but I do like the this nun outfit. It's actually kind of modest for a nun outfit, but looks cool. There's
the sexy Mr. Rogers outfit.
I don't see that, but let me.
You got to look harder. Like, oh yeah, like there are definitely some like outfits that are really hot. Yeah, not just these, but maybe like some of the superhero outfits, for instance, back when it like they were not hiding misogyny one bit, you know.
Yeah, I see this one. It's called it's from Yandy.com. Nicest neighbor costume. So it is. It's kind of a. Mr. Rogers, I can
see sexy
that.
Mr. Rogers. It's "Won't you be my neighbor?" is the first line when they talk about it.
Yeah,
like, this is their sexy Mr. Rogers outfit. And
wow,
yeah,
wow.
I agree. Sexy outfit.
That's very sexy. I
see,
did
they
not
can make anything sexy at this point. So yeah, you gotta be.
Like, what else?
Are you all right? You dying?
Yeah, you're not going
to
die.
I have to cough occasionally because I'm still not quite over my cold.
Okay, so we got to pick one fetish here. Quickly, Breakman. Your fetish.
Wait, why do we have to do it quickly? I was enjoying this.
I was quite enjoying it too, man. But we got a half an hour before we have our big interview.
Also, it comes with the puppets. That's nice.
It does come with the puppets, man.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Yeah, it's very fantastic. Okay, well... Well, their fetishes are really good. come on, Frank. You haven't made any suggestions. I'm doing all the work here.
I'm just going to stick with the cosplay one. Like, anything cosplay. Like, if somebody wants to wear...
I mean, that's a good one. So, I don't want... You're using that one. Let me think of something else, then.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, an oral fetish.
like which way? Like male on female or female on male or both?
Give and receive. Like an oral fetish, man. Okay. You gotta enjoy it.
I think that's kind of a cop out, Breakman, but I'll let you slide, man.
What, you think that's a cop out? How is that a cop out?
Because fetish, like it has to be something
because you're saying it's a normal activity.
Yeah, okay. That's like normal. You know what I mean? Like,
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
Like, how about whip?
How about a role play fetish?
Well, I kind of said that.
He
kind of
did that because he's got the cosplay outfits. He kind of took that one. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, you don't necessarily have to role play when you're wearing the outfit, though.
Yeah, that's true. I guess.
But how about a flashing fetish?
Whoa! Like female flashing male.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. It. Like I'm. That's my fetish, women flashing in public.
I love that too. It very rarely happens even at concerts anymore, I've noticed.
I don't I'm not really into that. I'm just saying, this is the one I'm choosing.
I like that. That's not a bad one at all, man.
It can be cool, but, Freak says BDSM. I guess we're not at all surprised.
Yeah. That's not a bad one either, Freak 5, as long as it's done responsibly. Some of the videos I've seen, I think, take it way too far, you know, but
tying her up, having your way with her, leaving, coming back later, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, or the other way around, you know, like dominant, submissive type stuff. Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Okay. No, Frank, no.
I'm just saying.
I'm a giver, not a receiver.
Okay, I think we settled that issue pretty much. That was a great question by Bernie.
I want to think of another one. I don't want to flash.
No, you're stuck with the flashing one. You said it.
Public nudity in general. How about that?
Okay, all right. You know, it's. I meant to mention this. I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but it's legal in Colorado for women to go topless now. So, nice. Yeah. So you can go topless in public.
There are places in Ohio where it's legal, not the entire state. And, like, I think New York, it's in the entire state.
Yeah.
Was that done primarily to allow breastfeeding, though?
Maybe, but it's perfectly legal now. So if you want to walk around with, you know.
It's more about being fair. I mean, honestly, even though, like, men are attracted and we're probably going to stare for a while, it's going to be hard not to look.
Right, right.
But men go shirtless all the time.
Yeah, Freak Five says...
And a lot of the men going shirtless don't want to go shirtless. You know what I mean?
Yeah. MXT's not wrong. Ohio isn't a state. It's a commonwealth.
Yeah. Yeah. Break gives head.
They just
call
it a state because it's big enough to be a state.
Freak Five is clearing up something for you, Break. He says Break gives head.
So is Rhode Island. So.
Break gives head. He doesn't receive it. So there you go.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is funny because Rhode Island actually is a state.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on, guys, because we gotta, you know, kind of pick up the pace here. So,
inquiring minds want to know.
What have you been playing, Break?
Me, most of the Master Chief Collection this week. I beat the second game, and then I start playing the third game, which is it's a little bit weird. Going to the third game and it not look as good as the game I was just playing the second game because it was the remake.
Okay,
but it still like looks not that bad over the years. Like Halo 3's aged pretty well, I think.
Yeah, yeah. those, I mean, the first couple, like, even Halo 2's kind of aged quite a bit, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Like,
but yeah. The remake, it looks amazing.
Wow. Yeah. I haven't checked out any of the remake stuff, so that's really cool.
Yeah, the remakes are really cool because there's a one button you just press it and it instantly switches between old graphics and new graphics, even for the cutscenes.
Ooh, that's really cool. That's a nice feature.
Wait, so they actually did remaster Halo 3?
No, Halo 2.
Oh.
First and second one. Not the third one. That's what I'm saying. The remastered Halo 2 looks so good that now that I'm playing the third one, it's a downgrade. Like, you can notice it's a downgrade, but it graphic-wise, I think it still holds up fairly well. I don't think the third one looks that bad. But the second one just looked really great. So.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else you've been playing, Break?
Just South Park and Final Fantasy on the phone. You know, the stuff that my addictions I must feed every day because the free stuff they give me.
Yeah, like my...
Log in, get my free stuff.
Yeah, the same thing with Marvel Puzzle Quest. I just mostly play it to get the free stuff. But I hear you, man. Also been playing a little bit of Talos Principle. I'm almost done with the game. I know I say that every fucking week, but I feel like I'm getting really close to the end. So hopefully have a review.
An end? I thought gotcha games didn't end.
No, not Marvel Puzzle Quest.
Oh, maybe that's his problem. Maybe he's not going
to... Talos Principle.
That's why you can't get to the end there, son.
Son of a bitch. You guys, I'm walking off this show. Talos...
It's got to be after this next boss.
How dare
you? Okay, seriously, a year later. No, seriously, I've killed everything else. There can't be anything else past this.
Yeah,
fuck,
no.
Why won't this game end?
Yeah, no, there is no end to Marvel Puzzle Quest, but I'm talking about Talos Principle. Eric.
Uh-oh.
So, all right. What have you been playing, Eric?
More on a Detective Mysteria, and this one needs to be removed. And I played a little bit of Alliance Alive HD. I've also been primarily playing a game. It's still embargoed, so I can't talk about it yet.
All right. Okay. No problem.
And I finally completed it. It's going to take people 140 hours to completely finish.
Wow.
A little bit more if you somehow screw up and miss something and have to do a second playthrough. Oof. Well, you probably have to do that anyways because you want to beat the game on Nightmare Mode to unlock the final trophy.
140 hours for embargo. That's really cool. Looking forward to that, Eric, when you can talk about that. But
I really can't wait for the fourth game.
Yeah, well, let's move on then. I'm not sure if you have any reviews, Break, but let me go ahead and start the reviews.
RP Grinders reviews.
All right, let me do mine real quick, Eric, so I can give you time to do yours. Watch the third episode of Creepshow. It's great. They've been bringing it every single episode. There's two stories to each episode, which I mentioned last week. So check it out. It's on Shudder. The service is worth it. I think it's like $5-6 a month, but it's well worth it if you're a horror fan. Creepshow's on there, and there's a bunch of other series and podcasts and a treasure trove of movies, and I can't say enough about Shudder. So make sure you check that out. Also, I had an opportunity to see Doom Annihilation. Let me just put it this way. I think it may have been... Like, I have to watch the old Doom first. It's slightly better, but it's still an abomination. It's a terrible movie. I can't give it much more than a 3 out of 10. It's not worth your time. I just thought I'd pick it up since it was video gaming related and give me a review to do that's sort of video gamey related. The story is actually closer to kind of the game with, like, demons and a portal and stuff like that. But, you know, there's no name actors in it. It's not really well directed. It's kind of a B movie, but without the B movie charm. So I guess rent it at your own peril. It's not very good.
B movies used to be great. Like back in the Rutger Hauer days, man. Like these movies weren't supposed to be good, but they'd get guys like Rutger Hauer and make them fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I thought Annihilation was just a Netflix thing.
No, no. I got it at the Red Box. So if you want to take that plunge, Dungeons says thanks like for. Yeah, thanks for taking the hit. I didn't even know Annihilation was out. Honestly, don't bother with it. It's not even worth a Redbox rental. It's one of those movies that if you happen to catch on like Cinemax or something, if you have a subscription and it happens to be on, give it a watch. But it's really not that good. Welcome on in, Dungeon. Also, welcome to Angel of Light and Alfred Judo Cuss. Judo Cuss 817. Welcome on in to chat. Appreciate you joining in. Dungeon says it's so Rutger Hauer. Blind Fury is awesome, man. Blind Fury was a great movie, man. I love that movie. And that movie had no business being good, Blind Fury. But it was, I mean, obviously Rutger Hauer, you know. But so there you go. All right, Eric.
Is Blind Fury an old movie?
Yes, it's like what would
early
like,
90s, late 80s type
maybe
movie?
Maybe like 91.
Is it streaming anywhere?
That I don't know, Eric. But it's worth watching. It's I think it was like 91. Yeah.
I think around that year. Yeah.
No. I'm just trying to.
Has anybody watched the Zatoichi movies?
Which one?
Any of them?
Like name?
I need names. I have no idea who those are.
Yeah, if you could name me like one of the popular ones, I may have.
1989.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what name of the movie is called Zatoichi, so it's like.
Oh no, okay, I have not.
Yeah, I have not either, Eric. All right, Eric, let's move on to your reviews.
I got a review for Happy Death Day to You and Steven Universe, the movie. And I guess Steven Universe, the series, but I might hold off on that because even though technically the series is over and there's only going to be like 6 episodes of like epilogue mini series, so that's probably only gonna be like 6 episodes long, so I'll just wait until that, but I'll do the movie for now. But okay. Happy Death Day to You is the sequel to Happy Death Day.
Yeah,
and it's a direct sequel, and it deals with the fact that they basically tried to explain away what happened in the first movie by saying that this other kid at the college as a project, accidentally made a machine that messed with quantum physics and ended up getting her stuck in a time loop.
Yeah.
And a version of itself comes to that present and tries to kill him to somehow undo it, even though I think he was mistaken and it wouldn't have worked anyway. But also, there's a big plot hole there because apparently the way that that time travel works in this movie is that the two people can't exist in the same place at once, so they kind of didn't explain that at all in the movie. But maybe that will get explained in the next one if they do another one. But
is it like the time cop thing? Like they can't touch each other, or are they just not even allowed to be close to one another?
No, they're just not allowed to be there, period. Like even if you tried to go in another space that they existed in, it would correct itself so that that wouldn't happen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Dungeon says two people can't exist in the same place at once. Is this Time Cop? Yeah, exactly.
But so I think they were trying to do like a Looper reference and it kind of didn't work, but whatever. Yeah. But anyways, she gets stuck in another day loop, but this time she was thrown into an alternate reality version of itself, so things have changed up a bit. Now she has to figure out who's trying to kill not her, but actually someone else. She just ends up dying a lot trying to figure it out.
Yeah. She's not very good at it, is she?
No, did you see the first Happy Death Day?
I didn't.
You gotta see the first one, Break. It's actually...
She also needs to figure out how to get back to her own timeline.
Yeah, yeah. The way the first movie worked, the first movie played out more like a horror movie. The second one is more like sci-fi. It's more like sci-fi comedy horror movie. Gotcha. I don't know.
Also, but, the end of the movie basically is a big Scream 2 reference.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you thought this was the villain? Oh, no, they're the villain. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Bye-bye supposed first villain.
Yeah, it's I liked it a lot. I saw it. You should watch the first one too, Breakman. They're actually really fun movies. And it's sort of one of those like date movies that you could probably watch with Mrs. Breakman, and it'd be fun for both of you guys.
And the ending's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
It does the whole Marvel like mid-credit sequence thing.
Yeah, yeah. I like the first movie.
Stick around for that.
I think I gave the first movie like an 8 out of 10, and I give this one like also an 8 out of 10. I liked it.
The same score.
Yeah, yeah. I like it quite a bit, Eric. As far as sequels go, I thought it was a pretty good sequel. I mean, plot holes aside, like, you know, you don't get very many sequels that kind of equal the first one. But there is a lot of good comedy to be had in those movies, and it's an enjoyable experience. I like it quite a bit. I'd recommend you watch it, Brake. It's fun. I think you and Mrs. Breakman would actually have a lot of fun watching both of those movies. So you're giving it an 8 out of 10, Eric?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, man. Let's see. Let me catch up on chat. Let's see. Going back, Dungeon says Blind Fury needed an NES game, but not by LGN. Yeah, exactly.
Well, if you played NES, a lot of the games are you just get a black screen because they weren't working. There you go. There's Blind Fury.
Every game was Blind Fury back in the day.
The 72 pin connector that was garbage is the Blind Fury inducer.
Yeah,
I really, really hate that I didn't learn until I was an adult that label on the back that's like, do not put alcohol on this, fucking was the total lie, because that's the only thing that actually fixes it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Get some alcohol on a Q-tip and rub off
it
the
doesn't, it and doesn't fix them. It actually makes it worse, but it does alleviate the problem somewhat.
Yeah, Freak says...
I don't know how it makes it worse. It does always
because
work.
It erodes the metal, that's why. It slowly erodes the metal the more you keep doing
it. If you do it a lot, yeah, but you shouldn't have to do it a lot.
Yeah, just clean it.
The way it is, if you clean it like once, you shouldn't have to clean it again for a long time.
Yeah, 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 for sure. Freak said he liked Happy Death Day to you. I think we're in agreement, Freak 5. I like that movie quite a bit. It took kind of a sci-fi turn for the second one, which I didn't mind at all. I like the direction. I hope they do make a sequel. I don't know if it was you, Eric, that said if they make a sequel, they can address some issues. But I do. I hope they make a third one. Okay.
Steven Universe, the movie. This is basically a send-off of the Steven Universe storyline, that a show that was on Cartoon Network for like at least 5 years, I think. And it's a show about a kid named Steven Universe who has a very interesting origin, because he's the byproduct of... What's an alien race known as the Gems? One of them went to Earth and shacked up with a guy. And, like, I'm guessing that they couldn't reproduce normally. So basically what she did is that she took some of his DNA and basically fused with it and created a new life form that was Steven. But she had to give up her own life to do this.
Ooh, okay. All right.
So he's basically his mother, but at the same time he isn't. And so he's got a gem, and he's basically the same as they are, but he can do things that they can't because he's half human. But
it's like the alien from Enemy Mine.
But anyways, he protects the Earth from the other gems because they're part of an empire that basically just conquers worlds, and the whole show is about him trying to get them to stop fighting.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a really cute show for kids. But this movie is almost 2 hours long, so it's a full movie. It's not like, we're going to call this a movie, but it's only going to be an hour long. So, it's too bad they didn't show it in theaters. Maybe they did, and it was not anywhere nearby. But, it's almost a 2 hour long musical. So there's musical interludes every, 5 to 10 minutes, depending on what's going on. But, the songs are cute, just like the show. And it takes place 2 years after the end of the series. And he's 16 now, and he's trying to find a...
Hopefully, tell me his voice is cracking.
No, it's deeper. Oh. It's not cracking.
Oh, it's just deeper, like they missed a cracking period. Damn, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird, because like, his growth was stunted for a while because of his half-gem hybridness. But, and then he just shot up like a weed, and we didn't need to see it, unfortunately. But I'm going to give this an 8 as well.
Okay, not bad.
There's a new villain, and the villain, well, like most of the villains in the show, becomes a friend at the end. But they remind me of, like...
So what, Steven Goku?
I guess, kind of. He's like the anti-Goku, though, because instead of fighting, he just makes friends. Mm. And Goku makes friends because he fights.
Oh no, he beats their ass, and then they like him after they get their ass.
It's sort of like when you get in a fight as a kid, you know, yeah. And then like you become best friends with.
It's
with
true. I had that experience too. Like, yeah. I became really close to a guy. I mean, like we hated each other, and then we fought, and then afterwards it's like, hey,
but, hey, we're friends now.
I'll be back with Steven Universe review in total for the series once cool. The epilogue series is done.
Cool. Just waiting on Craig. He just contacted me. He's looking for a quieter spot, he says. So okay. We'll be having that interview here any second now. I'm just waiting on him to let me know. Okay. In the meantime, did anybody have a Heiscapade this week?
No, I did want to review the Legion TV show though.
Okay, if you can do that.
Yeah, just a real quick review on it. It's the weirdest, most mind-bending show I've ever seen and enjoyed. In each episode, some episodes you had no idea what the fuck
was
going on.
My thought was derailed earlier, but the villain reminded me kind of a Cuphead character.
Okay. All right, break, continue on.
It's got that era vibe to it.
Since my thought was revealed, what the... You know what I meant? Derailed.
About your episodes, the episodes.
Yeah. Legion. Yeah. They're mind-bending episodes. It's based on the story of Charles Xavier's son, and the show centers around whether he is crazy or not, basically.
Mm, okay. All right.
And since it's about like in the mind, like a lot of the episodes are just freaky mind fucks, and I give it a 10. I fucking love the show.
Wow.
It's definitely not for everyone, though.
Okay. So is the show over, or is it the season?
Yeah, it's over. No, it's over. Like, it was a three-season show.
Wow.
So, it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Like, a definite ending. And everything's wrapped up really nicely and stuff like that.
Okay. All right. That's cool. 10 out of 10. I think that's the first 10 you've given for anything, Brake. So that's
no. I've given tens before. Just it's been a while.
I don't remember any tens.
But it's like I said, this show is not for everybody. Like it's definitely mind fuck. But the acting is so good in it. Like the guy who plays David Holler and Aubrey Plaza, like fantastic.
Does it have like Silent Hill vibes to it?
No, it's more of a fun show. But it's it's around superheroes, and like I said, it's based on Xavier's kid. The basic story plot is the show starts out with him in a mental hospital, and he meets a woman, and he starts to fall in love with her, and she's a mutant too, but they don't know that they're mutants. He hears voices, for instance, and like that. From there, like you find out that his head has been later in the show. Earlier in that first season, you find out that. His father, Xavier, went to fight the Shadow King and beat him. And the Shadow King, in retaliation, when he was knocked from his body, didn't die. Instead, he followed Charles and invaded Charles' son.
Mm.
And so he went to live in his son's head for 30 years. And it's whether that made him crazy. Is he crazy? You know, and such like that. And just... So it's just so cool. They have so much fun. They'll break in out into songs for instance for no real reason. Yeah. But it's not like this like a musical song. They'll break out in the song singing like The Who, for instance.
Okay.
So they're singing like classic rock songs, you know.
Okay. I think we're ready to get Craig on the line. Sorry to cut you off there, Brake, but we got to get this. So here we go. Let's call Craig from Drop Bear Bite Studios, the studio that's doing the new Broken Roads game. So here we go. Sorry for the Skype interlude here. I always hate that. Craig, do we have you?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, it's Craig from Drop Bear Bite Studios. You're live on the air with Frank. I'm Frank. We got Breakman and Eric. Do you hear us okay, Craig?
Yeah, I hear you just fine.
Okay, perfect.
Let me just say that if I knew that the developers were actually going to hear this show, I would have not have used a fake accent.
Yeah.
In my defense, like, I would have done behind your back.
So. It was amazing, and we all had a good laugh.
Yeah, it was probably from accent standpoint, Craig, what do you give like out of 10 Breakman's fake Australian accent?
I'd probably have to give it a perfect 10 as a fake Australian accent as a real Australian accent.
It's pretty awful.
I love it.
I'm not even Australian myself. I'm South African, so I'd probably do even worse than he has.
Well, you guys all sound the same to us over here. We're
I did not say that. That was Frank. All your hate mail to at Frank Branches.
Right. Right. The game in question is Broken Roads. It's a from everything that I gather, it's a post-apocalyptic. I don't want to say like Mad Maxian because I don't want to pigeonhole that game into that whole kind of genre of things. I definitely don't want to offend with that because when I hear Mad Maxian, it kind of turns me off. Not even as an Australian. So, can you describe the game for us, Craig, and what you guys are up to over at Drop Bear?
Yeah, sure. Well, look, it's post-apocalyptic, and I mean, Mad Max kind of set the tone for that. It's kind of the, you know, what Lord of the Rings is for fantasy. I think you're not never going to get away from some of the stuff that Mad Max did, especially because it is Australian as well. You know, when you're sort of defining the brand, we're sitting somewhere between the first Mad Max movie and The Road Warrior, the second Mad Max movie, just in terms of how far gone society is and you know, what sort of level of savagery people are at. But we're not just post-nuclear. You know, we have a background where it's, you know, think of if you had a decision tree for the next, say, a few generations and humans just made the worst choice at every possible turn. Environmental disaster, financial collapse, political extremism, rising sea levels, overpopulation, and eventually, you know, war that led to nuclear war. So we got
there.
So
this is real life then?
Yeah, this
exactly.
is
it's just documentary.
Yeah,
video game.
I was going to say, so this is like the United States right now, Craig. I mean,
like you went to the future and you found out what the future would be, and this is like
5 days in the future.
Yeah, exactly.
Part of our story is that the extreme left and the extreme right in America caused a second American Civil War. And that gives rise to, you know, sort of bolsters on political extremists in other countries. So you sort of get these two dominating far left, far right ideologies and, you know, other major nations follow suit. And that's what leads to the nuclear war. So this is very much like based on observation stuff that we're seeing in the world. Like, let's just extrapolate to the worst degree.
Yeah.
So it very much just results in a breakdown of government and, you know, financial institutions. And there's no centralized infrastructure. There's no running water. There's no electricity. You know, you may have seen in the artwork and in the trailer that, you know, everyone's sort of hooking up jury-rigged solar panels and that kind of thing. But there is, you know, some semblance of infrastructure going, but nothing centralized and so on.
Is there a currency?
Yeah, we're just using the Australian dollar, just the dollar coins. because the coins would survive. And it's just, you know, we wanted to look around, you know, bottle cap's a great idea. It's been done. And you know, maybe we could find something a little bit more
deep into the lore of it.
Yeah, I mean, look, they would survive, and they you know, units of like $1 and $2 coins we've got over here. So, you know, it saves us a bit of dev time not having to come up with something other than, you know, a currency that people already understand.
Sure,
so, right. Bottle cap's been stolen, like you said, so it's kind of hard to think of anything else.
Yeah, you know, it's a great idea. Well done, Fallout, for getting there first, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and look, it's set about 100 years in the future. It begins in a small town in Western Australia, just east of Perth. Every location in the game is going to be based on a real place in Western Australia. I flew over there, took a drive around, took a lot of photos, sent the photos to the art team. So when you run past buildings, or you go into the pub or past that old abandoned hotel, those are real buildings that I shot photos of, and the art team has kind of painted our style over.
Yeah.
And we ended up getting the same team that worked on the Shadowrun series.
Sure.
Mighty Vertex. They are producing the isometric art that you can see in-game, all sticking to our art director and lead artist, Kirsten Evans, following her sort of painterly, big brushstroke style. And the Mighty Vertex team have done a fantastic job of you know, adapting to that style. They're all huge fans of the Fallout series. They know all the sort of technical requirements from working on the Shadowrun games.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a few different things from a technical standpoint in terms of projecting them onto 3D models, so we can have dynamic lighting, and you know, characters can run behind what is, you know, essentially a PNG with a transparency. That's, you know, we're doing some VFX over it, and you know, real lighting and so forth. So yeah, that combination of tech and beautiful art is you know, something we're really, really proud of, how quickly it's come together. Because the concept for the game only came to us in January. Like, we, you know, development didn't start until, you know, within the last 6 months or so after a little bit of pre-production. Yeah. So the pace that the team has worked at and the results thus far, we're incredibly proud of.
The artwork is something to behold. There's no question about that. I kind of want to ask you about the general direction of the game to begin with. Was it a conscious decision to go with a more of a traditional turn-based RPG feel? We talk about it here on the show all the time, like how traditional turn-based games are kind of going by the wayside for more modern type, you know, sensibilities. So can you talk to us a little bit about that decision?
Yeah, look, 100%. Like, my favorite game of all time is Baldur's Gate 2. You know, I'm from the Fallout 1 and 2 tradition, you know, going as far back as, say, the Ultima games and the Gold Box D&D games by SSI. Like, I just love the combat in those games. Like, it's still good today. That sort of grid-based strategic combat. And then, you know, you get games like Shadowrun. Have done brilliant things. We love, you know, the XCOM series in terms of the tactical combat there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I knew it was going to be an isometric RPG. Like, if I was going to do an RPG, it's going to be the fixed camera, traditional style. I think you can do so much with it. I love what Obsidian and In Exile have been doing. I love the fact Microsoft have bought them and, you know, giving them more prominence and putting more money into this specific style of game.
Mm-hmm.
So no, if I was going to make a game and it's an RPG, like, this is the style you're looking at, exactly what we had in mind from the beginning.
Yeah. I think it's actually a really solid choice. Like, that's, I guess, the way to kind of separate yourself nowadays from a lot of the pack is to do something old school, but bring it modern. Mm-hmm. Something that Breakman and I both noticed when we saw the trailer last time was your kind of morality mechanic. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because that's, I think that's one of the more kind of compelling things to Broken Roads.
Cool. But yeah, look, we're calling it the moral compass. Sort of influenced by, you know, my background. I studied undergraduate in philosophy. I did 2 postgraduate degrees in philosophy. I can't believe that it hasn't been more explored in games.
Yeah.
The you know, thought experiments, the kind of moral dilemmas. I think that the RPG genre is so perfect. Like, especially these isometric style games for creating the same scenario. You know, you sit in a philosophy seminar and they say, look, imagine there's a train running down a track. Do you, you know, leave it to, you know, run over some people, or do you pull a handle knowing it's going to, you know, kill some people, but slightly fewer. Like, does sure. your inaction sure. make you responsible? Like, that, those kinds of things. I'm just going to, like, you know, there's so many like this that we could explore. And I thought, well, I love how, that. Can we do,
just saying.
How can we do something different to the sort of light side, dark side dichotomy? Like, Star Wars is great, but you've got this still a linear spectrum between two poles.
Mm-hmm.
The Dungeons and Dragons alignment system, you can still do things that are, you know, not really in line with what you think your character's alignment would be. So you can be like, hey, I, you know, I'm going to take the good option for this quest, but it looks like the bad reward here is better. So I'm going to be immediately evil, like the next quest.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, what if we did like something that each of your decisions had a very gradual shift? So if you look at the moral compass, there's a golden arc, which is your worldview.
Mm-hmm.
And that broadens or narrows, you know, depending on how many decisions you make of a particular, in one of the different philosophical quadrants that are in there. And as you choose things that are on sort of the fringes of your worldview, it'll rotate left or right ever so slightly. And then when you're in dialogue, there's a lot of neutrals, you know, hey, I'm going to buy a loaf of bread. It's not a moral decision, but there's a lot of moral choices in the game that will become available to your character based on what they've done before. So you don't choose an alignment and that's you. You choose an alignment at the beginning by answering, say, 10, what's your stance on these 10 moral dilemmas as part of character creation. And then as you go through the game, how you act shifts, you know, ever so slowly your worldview until you could, you know, you could start a particular way, and the kind of situations that human be exposed to in a desperate, desolate future, you may have to make some choices that are, you know, kind of abhorrent, and you see where your morality shifts because you made decisions that you have to.
So you can start as like a hero and then like have fall, you know, basically fall to the dark
pretty
side.
Much, you know?
That's pretty awesome. Much.
We're also not, you know, we're doing what we, some things are just shitty and evil, but we're trying to move away from good and evil. We're just going for like, hey, these are entirely valid ways of being in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like these are entirely justifiable choices. Sometimes you're being a dickhead and, you know, you're being selfish and whatever. And other times it's like, look, I had to make a tough choice. And, you know, we are going to make it hard for our players at times because I think that makes those memorable moments. And also, look, obviously, this is a big goal, is to make it very, very replayable. So the moral compass has 360 degrees around and 0 to 100 for every point along each degree. So there's 36,000 possible places that a decision point can be. And the algorithm of moving and shifting your moral compass is based upon your character's current distance from the decision.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like totally dynamic. It's really smooth, and it allows so many ways of going through the game.
So you're saying the choices would be more like, say, whether to steal food from somebody who might be starving, but you need to steal food to feed your kid because your kid will starve.
That's exactly it. You know, and or maybe you know that, yeah, like this settlement, you can steal their solar panels and they'll be ruined. But how else are you going to save your family? Like, who's not going to put their family first?
Right.
And it's kind of interesting because what are we doing? We're playing with made up characters like pixels on a screen. But even so, I don't know about you guys. I replay Baldur's Gate and it's like, oh, it's so hard to be the asshole, be the dickhead, like evil character all the time.
Right.
And I kind of go, oh, I feel sorry for that settlement. Cool. I'll be nice to them. But we're going to make it harder for players where it's like, if you don't do this thing, you're making it harder for yourself and the people in the game that you care about. So I'm kind of excited to explore what we can do with that and also test it out.
We have a question from chat from Dungeon Buster. He says, just for clarification, will it still be possible to choose something completely opposed to your current outlook? Is everything open? Is the question.
No, that's the thing. We do want to make it that you have to be consistent. You know, the thinking is, what would your character think to respond, or how would your character think to act in this instance, you know?
So it's not like, say, Knights of the Old Republic, where at the end of the game you can decide, well, you know, I've been a bad guy this whole game, but I can just, I'm just going to be a good guy now.
Absolutely perfect example. One of the, you know, greatest RPGs ever made,
right.
That I think would benefit from a little bit more consistency of character on how you've played through that many hours to lead you to that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we also are going to take on player feedback. I know that there's a risk when you limit player action and player choice, which is exactly what this mechanic does. And if the feedback in beta, like, look, we're a year and a half at the most, maybe 2 years from launch. Mm-hmm. We do want to run a small closed beta with like really engaged community members and that kind of thing that know the genre, and you know, we'd value their feedback. If the feedback starts to come like, hey, I really want to have a broader worldview as standard, you know, maybe we'll widen it. Maybe we'll make it toggleable that, hey, you can choose anything you want as a setting. It will go completely against one of the design pillars, but you know, that'll be based on player feedback. And if it's not fun, I want to throw it out because I want to make a fun RPG first and foremost.
To me, this seems like a more organic approach to like branching storylines and branching choices. I there's nothing I hate in games worse than like what Breakman was saying. Like, you know, you go through a game and you have like, let's say a fork in the road, and you take one fork, but it doesn't really matter because the end result is the same. Is that an accurate assessment? Are we, you know, are you kind of organically going through the motions here and then getting to an end point, or are there multiple, you know, end points to what you're thinking in Broken Roads?
We've got an ultimate plot line, you know, and also with a team this size, when you start adding multiple endings and that kind of thing, you blow up scope quite a lot, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So we have more something that's, it starts narrow, it goes very, very broad, and then it kind of pinches close to maybe four-ish for now conclusions. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at each moral quadrant, I think that's kind of as far as we want to send the aspirations right now. Like, look, the reception's been amazing. A lot of attention has come our way over the last 10 days. If we get the right publisher or the right kind of funding, mm-hmm. hey, like, we'll build a team and we'll have many more options to go through the game.
Sure.
But yeah, look, we want it to be, if you know Baldur's Gate 2, for instance, as soon as you enter, I think it's the second chapter, the game just opens up and you can do so much, but it does eventually lead you to a particular point, you know? Mm-hmm. And we're probably going to have you led to one or four points eventually.
Dungeon Buster earlier brought up the point that he likes big parties, and it looks like this game, you're able to get more than the standard, you know, wizard, fighter, thief type motif. You're able to get like maybe a party of six. Is that what you're aiming for?
That's right. So you'll create a character. But then it's all pre-scripted, you know, story-based companions. So everybody's got their own stats. They've got, you know, unique weapons or unique skills. Everyone's very thoroughly written as well. They've got their relationships and their reactions to certain things that you do. Mm-hmm. We're looking at a roster of 10, from which you can have 5 at any one time.
Okay.
So at the moment, there's been 5 that have sort of developed to the point that we've gone public with them. You can see them in the key art and the trailer. You know, we're getting some more writers on board to do a few different characters we're going to reveal over the next, you know, coming months whenever we're ready to. But the goal right now is your own created character and up to 5 of a roster of 10.
Mm-hmm. Let
what
you...
kind of I'm sorry, Frank.
No, go right ahead.
What kind of relationships can you form? Can you get you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, for instance, type thing?
Yeah, look, I'm not a huge fan of romances in games. It's just like mm-hmm. not something that I really pursue when I play. But people have been asking this so many times, and I'm, you know, some of the writers that I've got in the team, you know, they do that kind of thing. So I'm like, cool, you know, we'll have romances. We'll have, you know, different people have in your party will have their own worldview and their own moral standing. I don't think I'm going to do anything to the point of like, you know, you're a paladin and you can't have evil party members. You know, mm-hmm. like, I don't think we're going to restrict who you're with. They may dislike what you do. We don't want them to leave the party and that kind of thing. I don't like that mechanic. Mm-hmm. So there'll be friendships that are influenced by what you've done. We're using software called Artisy Draft. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's absolutely brilliant narrative design tool. That's, I think the team from Cyberpunk are using it. There's a whole load of games if you look it up. It's incredibly powerful at tracking, you know, any kind of variables, any relationships, all your decision trees, that kind of thing. And the team's kind of really diving into that. You know, if you do this at this point, you can link through to how that would influence someone's, you know, attitude towards you, or, you know, you might do something and then 3 hours later, some unpredictable outcome affects your party. Like, you know, we've got really great tools to track all that. And, you know, throwing romances into the mix now, I think, is it's just something that we're going to do. You know, because there is a demand for that.
Yeah, Breakman just asked that question because when he plays games, he just wants to sleep with everybody in the game. That's why he asked that.
In Fallout, there were perks for sleeping with everybody. I didn't hurt myself.
You talked a little bit about funding, Craig. I want to talk a little bit about that. Is there a Kickstarter, maybe an Indiegogo, or what are we doing with the funding of this game?
Yeah, look, not at the moment. We'll see where we go. Obviously, the reaction has been incredible. I mean, I think as of this morning, there was almost 15,000 views on the trailer. The booth at PAX has been super, super busy. You know, we're getting noticed and we're getting attention.
With our help, and you just got like 3 more people viewing.
Exactly. I think that's what pushed it over the top, you know. It's from 14,997 to 15,000, so thanks a lot, guys. All I want to say is that, you know, we're getting a bit of attention, and it's the exact kind of attention we want, and we're reaching the exact kind of niche core audience. We know we're not after the, you know, we're not going to bring over a Call of Duty or a Fortnite player. Like, we want people who walk past the booth or see the trailer. That's my genre. That's me. Like, I am a traditional isometric role-playing game player, you know?
Yeah.
And there are companies that recognize that audience. And, you know, so far, so good with the reveal and all of our plans. So not really going to talk too much more about, like, funding and the biz relationship stuff right now. But if we do end up going to Kickstarter, you guys will know all about it.
Sure.
Hopefully we don't get there. Hopefully the kind of attention we've been getting means that that's not the route we're going to end up going.
Yeah.
Frank is probably happy to hear that.
Yeah,
spending Kickstarter. That's why he asked.
Yeah, so. I'm definitely not a fan of Kickstarter at all. Dungeon Buster asked a couple of interesting questions. This goes back to more of the development part of things.
He says, one of our chatters.
Yeah. He says, will people leave your party or complain about what you're doing depending on your worldview?
Cool. So that's what I was getting at, where I don't like the mechanic where, you know, you do something and somebody leaves your party. I'm happy for them to complain. I'm even happy for them to have like debuffs or negative traits.
I'm sorry, you really did answer that already.
I'm happy to elaborate, because I've thought about this and I'm like, look, people are going to be unhappy, so maybe we just give them like the miserable trait and the attributes of -1, and, you know, like grumpy gives you -1 AP, like who knows, you know. But I don't want to. I think that getting someone leaving your party kind of punishes you. There is a little bit of role-playing realism to that, but I personally don't like the mechanic. So my thinking is more, if you have a morally aligned party, maybe there's a benefit, and if you are opposed, there's a debuff, but not the, I'm going to abandon you and, you know, you're gone now. So
yeah, that's actually one of my favorite things, like in Dungeons and Dragons, the actual role-playing game, the, you know, pen and paper, like morality bonuses, you know, like your party is like aligned, for the most part, and you get like, some certain bonuses for the same type of, actions and stuff like that. So that would be actually really cool. Dungeon ask another great question. On the PC, will this be an Epic exclusive or not?
We've had a bunch of people ask that, like they're, you know, super, super concerned. You know, I'll say outright, we haven't had a single conversation with Epic. We don't plan on that. I've seen what the community reaction is to it. I fully understand devs that need it, because, you know, again, that moral choice, like, am I going to secure the studio? Everyone can pay their rent, put food on their tables, and upset a few people, as opposed to just taking, say, a greedy paycheck. Mm-hmm. We are not in that position now. That conversation hasn't even started. All I can say on, like, you know, it's the 12th of October 2019, is we don't have any plans for that. We haven't had those conversations, and I think that there's a lot of avenues I'd explore before we took that route.
Okay, that's fair enough. You know, you can never, burn any bridges. You know, you never want to burn any bridges when it comes to those type of things. But I'm glad that you're at least cognizant of kind of the gaming community as a whole and how people feel about those type of exclusives. I was going to ask you kind of a quirky question. Drop Bear Bites. I know what a Drop Bear is just because, I don't know, I think I know everything pretty much. But for the people that... for the people that don't know what a Drop Bear is, can you kind of explain that to everybody?
Yeah, well, it's a definitely real and not at all mythical creature in Australia that, you know, they tend to favor tourists in their diet. And if you're walking around, you got to sort of watch above you if you're walking under trees and so on, because they're sort of like a slightly larger than average koala, much more vicious claws, like, you know, super sharp teeth. And yeah, I think the best way to stay safe is to put Vegemite behind your ears. You can also use toothpaste. It's not as effective. But yeah, I wouldn't basically leave any of the cities if I didn't have, you know, Vegemite or toothpaste behind my ears. Yeah.
So is it any kind of toothpaste, or should I get like the most expensive toothpaste? Or could I just buy like
anything that's multiple colors? Because the different colors scare them. Like those, they're kind of like the red and the green are warning colors that you see on like snakes and stuff. So if you can get the multicolored toothpaste, that's definitely the best. And the more the safer you'll be.
See, I'm of the persuasion that hot sauce works on everything, so I would just try hot sauce to ward off the...
You can give it a go, but like woe betide the tourist who finds the drop air that's into spicy food. So yeah, that's your risk. And if you don't believe me, you can check the Australian Museum. The official website has an entry for drop air, so I'd encourage you to read that entry as a little bit of a, you know, information before you take the risk of visiting Australia and heading out in the outback.
Our listener, Dungeon Buster, once again has another question. He says he wants to know if toothpaste will be a lost treasure.
Sorry, I didn't catch the question.
He was asking if toothpaste will be – he was making the joke if toothpaste
will be. Oh, right. Yeah, no, I mean, that's basically like it's OP. You know, we're actually having to dial it down a little bit, so there's a lot of testing going into the armor buff that toothpaste gives you. Yeah.
Now, real quick question about the story of Broken Roads. It is a post-apocalyptic thing. Is there an explanation as to what really is going on? Is it disease? Is it a zombie apocalypse? Is it more vague on purpose?
Look, it's not zombies. There is some disease, although that's not the worst of it. It really culminates from what I was talking about earlier with all of this divisive, sort of reductive online fighting that you'll see. Everyone's an expert in political theory, and you know, people try and somehow believe that you're going to convince someone to think the way you do by shouting at them and insulting them and calling them names. Like, you know, that's political discourse in 2019. And so what we do is, like I say, it starts in America. You get a new civil war that makes everybody divided along, you know, ideological lines that spreads around the world. And you start getting great superpowers that are, you know, aligned with one or other of these two new states. And that leads to, you know, eventually nuclear war. But along the way, we've, you know, screwed up the climate. The, you know, global temperatures have increased. Overpopulation is just absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, there was another economic collapse like we saw, 15 years ago, 10 years ago. You know, so that's all kind of contributing. Just it's humans fucking up, basically,
right.
What's happening, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And then it eventually some of the major cities got bombed. People had to leave. People started to flee early. And government is just gone, you know. So, and people are making the.
This sounds like a documentary from the future, right?
Yeah, it definitely does, man.
I think we made that joke already, but it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's very much influenced by what we see in the world at the moment.
Yeah. I know you have to go, Craig. I don't want to keep you too much longer, but I do want to ask you, what you're at PAX right now, showing off the game. Is there a demo going on, or is it just trailer and then, you know, media attention? What's going on at PAX Australia right now?
we've got a big TV looping the trailer that you've seen, and then we do have a hands-on demo. It's a specific branch we made for PAX, just so people can click around, they can see the moral compass in action, they can see how the dialogue works, a lot of the different scenes. We just sort of shortcut some of the mechanics, like you would have to discover places, repair radio towers to broaden the world map. We're just making those different settlements clickable so you can go and see the different environments, the different art assets we've got in place, and really just talking people through the features more so than, here's an end-to-end demo where you can complete a quest or do some combat. We're really just getting people's reactions, trying to get some attention, seeing like who are the core people that sort of walk past and they know exactly what they're doing or what we're doing instantly. Like, yeah. I know this fits into what I love to play. And really just kind of trying to get as much feedback as we can. Where do people struggle? What isn't clear? Like, we've already got some, UI changes we know we have to make. And, hey, everyone seems to ask this. This isn't clear. We've got to change that. Again, I want to remind you, it's been less than 9 months that the game's been worked on. So it's a very, very early build. But the reaction has been fantastic. Like, people love the artwork. They love the world. Australians are super, super happy to see something that's set in authentic locations that they recognize. Mm-hmm. Love seeing camels. There's over 1 million feral camels running around in Australia. They're super hardy beasts that would survive, an apocalypse. They would persist and carry on.
Sure.
And we've got kangaroos running around and, just a lot of animals and colors and authentic, like, flowers and bushes and stuff from the area, and people are really warming to that.
Yeah,
so it's been great so far. Really, really great so far.
The game looks absolutely fantastic so far. I know there's going to be a myriad of changes between now and when you guys finally put out the game, a year or two from now. Dungeon says the best in chat. He says, realistic apocalypse is best apocalypse. As a huge post-apocalyptic game fan, this is hitting all of the notes. So he's super excited.
So great to hear.
Yeah.
I'm just going to use the opportunity. Sign up on the website. We're going to have a closed, like I said, a small closed beta where we want engaged people that get what we're doing. This isn't going to be a 1,000-person closed beta and, used as a marketing thing. It's very much we're trying to avoid early access if we can and just launch the full thing when it's ready. But I do want to find that core of players who are like, they love what we're doing and they're going to help us make the best game that we can put out for people that love this style.
Sure. He says,
I would definitely recommend our listener Quest Buster.
Dungeon
Buster or Quest Buster, he goes by both.
Awesome.
He says if you guys set up a Steam page, he'll wish list it. So it's just a perfect game for Dungeon. The game looks great so far, Craig. We really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us and talk a little bit about the game. Hopefully, sometime soon, if you have any updates, you'll come back on the show and discuss those.
Cool. Well, thanks very much. I really enjoyed talking to you guys as well. It's been a bit of a good laugh as well. So thanks a lot.
Yep. Thanks a lot, Craig. Good luck at PAX Australia for sure.
Cool. Thanks a lot,
Thank
guys.
You. Thank yep. you very much.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. All right. That was Craig from Drop Bear Bite Games. The game is Broken Roads. It looks really good. We talked about this, Breakman. This looks like a really, really heady type of mature, and I didn't get a chance to talk to him about that. Maybe when we have him on again, I had to let him go because he had interviews with I think GameSpot right after us.
Okay.
So now we're up in the upper echelons of GameSpot and other people that are doing interviews. But I think this is more of a mature type game, Break, that we we really talked about.
I would have said more if it had not been for my throat issues.
It's all good, Eric. No problem at all.
It's fine. I think letting him talk mostly was the best idea.
Yeah, I mean, nobody.
I felt bad every time I interrupted, but there's so many questions I wanted to ask. So
oh man, I mean, we could have probably did a whole show with Craig, talking about the game and certain aspect of the games. I'm with you, Break, man. I had like 50 million questions I wanted to ask. It's really tough, but just listening to the guy is worth the price of admission. So I hope everybody enjoyed that interview, make sure you check out Broken Roads and get all the updates and, you know, all that good fun stuff if you're listening on the archive. But all right, let's move on, guys. I was going to ask him for a stinko, but I didn't know if like it would like translate. You know what I mean? Like I didn't want to go that far and ask him something that shitty that happened in his week and ruin the mood. So we're going to go ahead and ruin our moods, guys. Let's you know what? I don't know what the fuck. Oh, there's my audio cues. Let's move on to our stinko since we have a few minutes left.
Ah, what is it?
Stinko of the week.
All right, Brake, you're up. Stinko of the week.
Okay. Well, I did have a couple stinkos. I can't remember what one was because I didn't write it down. But I guess my only stinko to him right now is to the fucking Trump and his. Hey, this is we're bringing troops home. Like we're ending another war. You know, we're getting out of Syria and stuff like that. No, you're a liar. What you did was you moved Trump troops out of the way. You moved them to a different part of the country. You didn't bring anybody home, mm-hmm. so that another country could go ahead and invade Syria.
This was also my
with the help of Putin, and Russia, and I think who's the other country that's involved heavily in this?
Turkey. Turkey's the other one.
No, I know Turkey's the country. This is the main country, but they're getting help from Russia and somebody else. I can't remember who that
is. Yeah, I can't remember the other country. It doesn't really matter. Like, my stinko's the same, so I'll go ahead and talk about this with you. It's not even so much that he's quote unquote pulling troops out of Syria.
Just another fucking lie, which is complete and utter bullshit. You know, there's no even his party members can't defend this.
The problem that I have with it is the Kurds were a huge ally in kicking ISIS's ass, Breakman. And
actually, in more ways than one, they weren't just an ally; they were a main force.
Yes, they were they'd lost 10,000 people. Over 10,000 people, but they captured the majority of the ISIS fighters that were out there, and they also defeated ISIS. They single-handedly with a little bit of U.S. backing, basically took care of ISIS for us. They're a hardy bunch, the Kurds, and I feel really bad because they are absolutely going to get slaughtered by Turkey because Turkey has. I think the second biggest armed force unit in all of NATO. So it's not going to be long, and the Kurds are really going to get their asses kicked. Not only that, there's a bunch of ISIS fighters still in those prisons that the Kurds are.
There's about 10,000 of them still in prison.
Yeah. So what happens if they, let's say they take care of the Kurds that are holding those soldiers and the Turks decide to just let those people go? Like it'll be ISIS 2.0, except you'll have ISIS 2.0 that's even more pissed off and more ready to, do some more damage to the U.S. So it's an absolute disaster. I'm one for stopping these endless wars.
Right,
break
me
man.
Too. I'm with you on that one. But this isn't what this is.
No, this is not. This is causing more instability and ruining one of the best fighting forces in the entire world. And Trump is an idiot, and I'll tell you why, break man. He said the Kurds did not help us in World War II. He needs to look at his history books. The Kurds definitely helped in World War II.
He doesn't look at anything that isn't a coloring book.
Yeah, Freak's got to go. Later, Freak. Appreciate you joining. Really, really appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed the interview. He's an idiot, Breakman.
I mean, if you want to explain to me how he's an idiot, we don't have enough time.
No, there really isn't. But I'm glad
even if we had all night and all next tomorrow, we still wouldn't have enough time.
Yeah.
He defies idiots.
Yeah, he really is. And you know, we were talking about broken roads. Trump might be the gateway to a real broken roads. You know what I mean, Breakman? He, all the stuff that Craig talked about, happening right now. Global warming, idiot president of the United States with two different factions, the far right, the far left.
Yep.
It's crazy. I think we're in agreement on that. Any other stinkos break, man?
Well, there it goes, I guess, to Hillary and her her comment about the gutsiest thing she ever did was stay married to Bill.
Ugh. Oh, boy. Gutsy.
Yeah, really. I mean, come on. So, yeah, that's the gutsiest thing you ever did was stay married to a molester and a Okay, whatever.
Yeah, if you call that gutsy,
that's not,
I guess.
That's not called gutsy. You need a dictionary, but whatever.
Psychotic would be, you know, word that I would use. She's another one, man. But anyways, let's move on.
She's one of those people that needs to stop talking because she helps Trump.
Yep, I agree. And she kind of threatened to enter the presidential race again, and I'm like, no, let's not relive that again. We already got
We have her 2.0 with Biden.
That's what I was going to say. We have Hillary 2.0 with Joe Biden, who by the way is no longer the front runner, which is luck. I mean, I thankfully that's, you know, he's going to drop. I predicted this. You guys remember, I predicted he's going to drop like a fucking anchor. So it's going to be between Bernie and Elizabeth Warren. And I'm really hoping that Bernie gets it because he will absolutely fucking trounce Trump. I am not confident that Elizabeth Warren will, you know, first of all, fight for the things that we need and want. And I don't think she can beat Trump. So, you know, whatever. Anything else, break?
No, because that next, we actually want to go into my Sweeto.
Okay. Let's get Eric's stinkos first off. Eric?
All right. I got stinkos. I got lots of them.
All right. Go.
The first one is the passing of John Kirby. In case anybody doesn't remember, because it was a long-ass time ago, but John Kirby was the attorney Nintendo hired to defend their use of Donkey Kong from Universal when Universal wanted to litigate against them because they apparently thought it was too much like King Kong.
Yeah, John Kirby was actually there's something else he's known for, Eric, and it's in this article.
Oh yeah, and because of that, he was his last name was used for the name of Kirby's character in the Kirby series.
Yeah, but he was also instrumental in the Voting Rights Act and the civil rights, all the civil rights stuff. So he's a very important historical figure, not only for the use of his name in the Kirby games, but he basically exposed.
And for fighting against copyright law nonsense.
Yeah, he exposed, and I think this is probably the most important thing that he did. He worked on, they had literacy tests that were designed, and it explains in this article, they were designed to exclude African Americans. You know, it's part of the, he's part of the reason that we have the Voting Rights Act. And, you know, a wonderful activist and a great person passed away. I'm glad you brought this up. And it's definitely a stinko, Eric. What else you got?
I've also got how PlayStation Europe has laid off some of its staff alongside the PlayStation 5 announcement. How nice.
Yeah.
Hey, we have more work to do. We got a new system coming out. You're fired.
Yeah. That's pretty much.
We're not going to use you at all to help promote the system. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what companies do all the time. Like this is really the result of end stage capitalism. People like we're really.
That's why I've said like the game developers need to unionize.
Yeah,
it'd be a completely different union.
Hardware development, but yeah, same idea.
Yeah, yeah, it sucks. But what can you do? What else you got, Eric?
From Engadget, I have the article on the Blizzard fiasco that happened this week.
What's the gist of this, Eric? Because I'm
basically a Hearthstone pro player was streaming, and he was doing a show, and a post-match interview, I guess, and He voiced his support for the Hong Kong protesters, and as a result, in retribution, Blizzard, not wanting to piss off the Chinese government for the money they get from them, suspended his account so he can't play Hearthstone for a while.
That really sucks. The NBA is going through something very similar. The general manager of the Houston Rockets kind of voiced his support for the Hong Kong protests.
And Blizzard made an official response, but it basically boils down to our games aren't political, so this is why we took him down. But it's not a good explanation, and I don't agree with their decision, even based on policy, because like, considering the fact that so many other companies have spoken out, have basically stuck up with the Chinese government and not with the protesters because there's money involved, I don't believe that their claim that money wasn't involved in their decision. You're fucking liars, Blizzard.
I totally agree. I totally agree, Eric. Couldn't agree more. Sad situation. The NBA is going through. The National Basketball Association is going through.
They denied him his winnings too.
Yeah.
No.
That's what Questbuster's saying in here. Like, he added that part. Like, he said.
Oh yeah, they did. They did.
That's that is beyond fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. As I was saying, the GM for the Houston Rockets voiced...
And this is coming after the fact that during a live stream of, like, I think Overwatch, a couple of university students that were in the background that had pro-HK flags had the live stream cut because of that.
Yeah, they, total bullshit.
Two people that weren't involved in the stream just because they were in the background.
You know what it boils down...
I could kind of see in that because if... Because what if there's somebody else? You know, what if it's like MAGA supporters or something, for instance?
Yeah, yeah.
But then again, like, yeah, if they're just wearing just MAGA shirts or hats or whatever, yeah, like, they're just wearing a hat.
Right, they're just, honestly. I doubt they would have got banned for that, Breakman.
Yeah. Yeah, but just wearing a shirt, like, that's stupid. I take back any of my previous statement. That's stupid.
When it involves money and lots of money, then
this is another long line list of things that Blizzard has fucked up on. Let's see, the Diablo 3 auction house for one.
The
fact that they launched it in such a starry state that it had a bunch of technical issues.
Yeah.
And then but more modernly, when we get to Overwatch, we have the stupid loot boxes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck loot boxes.
Yeah, and then, things are going to change because they've been outlawed in certain places. So
yeah, not the United States yet.
But there's also the shittiness of the Overwatch League and how it only has one, so far, female player out of a group of a bunch of men. And the fact that the league itself isn't very diverse racially.
Yeah. Winsock is in chat. Welcome, Winsock. Thanks for joining the chat.
It's I don't even think it's a matter of like women not applying for positions. I think it's them just not accepting them.
Yeah. Well, that could be. We don't know the details fully on that, but it's
let's have a token woman on the league just so we look like we are not misogynistic.
Yeah. I was mentioning the NBA. The NBA is going through something very similar to this thing.
Yeah, and so are a bunch of other companies like Apple and Disney.
Yeah, it's...
Remember when they recast the person who was supposed to play the Sorcerer Supreme because they had the problem with Tibet and they wanted to make China happy, so they changed it to a white woman instead?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. It's when money is involved, things change, and it's always going to be that way until I believe we get money out of politics. And there's only
but then you have companies like people like South Park,
the totalitarian state that is the Chinese government.
What were you saying, Blake?
Like Parker and Stone, who
do
episodes go ham like on the Fuck China episode they did this week.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I kind of want to watch it.
It was a total fuck China episode.
Yeah.
In the previous episode, one of the main characters was selling out to China.
Yeah. And,
basically, he was told he had to say fuck China.
I don't know. I don't even know what to say about all that. Let's break up all the badness with some goodness, guys.
Dude, what does my tattoo say?
Sweet. Sweet of the week.
All right, Breakman, your Sweeto of the Week.
Oh, my Sweeto of the Week. I said earlier, you said if Elizabeth Warren was nominated, you don't think you could beat Trump. Nope. Well, my Sweeto goes to, with some of the news that's been coming out, you know, we might not have to even worry about him in the next election.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
It's starting to get really bad because for him, he was just told in court that he can't hide his taxes. He
yep.
has to get them.
Okay. Yep. Which, if he doesn't, man, I go back and forth on this, Break, because he's been getting away with so much. Who's to say doesn't get away with this? Like,
Well, the problem is that the people that have the power to enforce him have this wait and see attitude going
yep.
on instead of like
yep.
really doing anything.
Yeah, that's true.
And nobody else is doing anything because the only other people that have the power to Senate, and they've been, you know, they've been getting more and more quiet and. Instead of like defending him, they've been trying to stay away from the cameras and stuff like that.
Yeah, like Mitch McConnell. I haven't seen him in forever. Like, he's nowhere to yeah. be found. Like, I think you're right, Breakman. And remember what I said maybe a week or two ago about there's been rumblings about senators like that would be willing to vote him out. Mm-hmm. I think that's why we're getting a lot of silence. I don't think it's because they want to avoid the questions. I mean, there is that, but I think
they don't want to say directly that we can't approve. We just do not approve of this.
Right.
I think a lot of them are hoping stuff blows over.
It's not going to blow over.
If this war in Syria that's ramping up, you know, doesn't blow over, which I don't see it blowing over, like they're going to be forced to, you know, make heavy choices because none of them approve. No, the only thing person I think approved was Rand Paul because. Rand Paul.
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
actually, Rand Paul is a weird character. Like, he doesn't fit the normal, typical Republican
mold. I know,
Republican
that's because
mold.
Rand Paul, he just, yeah. you know, he's so anti-war, even if you're just moving troops, he's for it. Like, get him out of war. Yeah, we don't need him there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I shouldn't say anti-war because, you know, yeah. He was pro-waging war, but once the troops are there, he wants them out. Like,
yeah. I actually think that this could have been a great move by Trump, but it turned out not great. Like, if he would have said, you know, we're going to move all our troops out of Iraq and Afghanistan, and he did that, that would have been way better than what he's doing in Syria. And Syria would have probably been the last piece of the puzzle that I would have worried about. I would have probably, you know, gave Turkey an ultimatum and said, you will not cross this border. You know, you do one thing and we will be right back making sure that you're doing the right thing. And if you attack our troops, then you got a huge problem. But he's a coward. He said there were 50 troops. There were 1,000 troops that he took out of there. And it's kind of quite ridiculous what he did.
And this happened a day after he talked to the president of Turkey.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, this isn't, we're not abandoning our people. Like, dude, you talked to the president who said he's, you know, this is what I'm going to do. And you're like, okay.
Well, it's because Erdogan yelled at him. He was one of the few people that got pissed at Trump. And Trump always thinks that he's in a position of power. But when Erdogan got his ear, he gave him an earful. And Trump's not used to that. You know, he's used to everybody being a yes man and, yep. you know, like sucking his nuts. And Erdogan wasn't willing to do that. And that's why you saw the reaction that you did.
I know. And his supporters are so blind to how weak he is. Like, they see him at his conferences.
Yeah.
He's standing on stage in front of his loving, adoring crowd and
yeah.
acting tough as fuck. That's not. He's not.
No.
If anybody steps up to him, he's scared.
He's a coward. He's even been a coward to one of the weakest Democrats ever, Nancy Pelosi. So, you know, and Chuck Schumer, another fucking.
The only
piece
thing
of shit.
He's able to do is to spread rumors about
yeah.
him. You know, try
yeah.
and bastardize him, say like they need to be impeached and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's worthless.
And look how heavy he's going after this. Already been proven false thing with Biden and Ukraine,
yeah.
you know?
It's not entirely false. There's some shady shit going on with Biden and his son.
Well, I don't disagree with any of that, but
yeah.
I'm saying, like, you know, like,
yeah, the overall narrative is not.
This is like, hey, look, don't look at me. I'm not doing anything. Right. Everything everybody else is doing is crooked.
Right. Which is, I mean, it's projection. We've talked about it on this show many a time, Breakman. Like, it's pure projection. Like, everything he's doing, he's projecting on everybody else. Real quickly, I wanted to mention Dungeon's comment about China. He says, China's game market is worth nearly $37 billion, and Blizzard, Activision so want a piece of that. Of course they do, Dungeon. That's where they make a good chunk of their money, is in China. So, yes.
And look, the Warcraft movie, it was a big flop in America.
But a huge hit in China.
Yeah, huge in China.
Yeah, right. Actually didn't do too bad. I looked at the numbers here in the United States. Comparative to China, yes, but it didn't do too bad here. It made almost, I think, $75 million, if I'm not
that lost money.
Yeah. Well, if you just look at just the United States, then yes, it did lose money.
If you lose money in any market, it's a fail. It's a flop.
It's a flop in this market, but China more than made up for that, man. Like, I think, what did it make? Like $300 million or something in China?
It made ridiculous numbers.
Yeah, it was ridiculous in China. So, Eric, did you have any Sweetos?
No.
Did you have any more, Breakman?
Yes, actually, speaking of, you know, Trump and things starting to turn from bad to worse for him.
Yeah.
The polls are also now starting to shift against him.
Yep, 51%.
Even on Fox News.
Yeah, 51%, according to a Fox News poll, want him impeached and removed. So
he has been going to more and more extreme right news sites, the people who still support him, the Breitbarts and the other
places. OANN, that stupid One America.
Yeah, I saw him tweet about that. I'm like, what is that? He's going to these places I've never heard of.
Yeah. Breitbart, OANN, you know, all these smaller, you know, the Blaze, you know, stupid places like that. You know, it's just the walls are closing in. I think he will finish out because I think the Democrats will fuck it up somehow, Breakman. But if somebody like Bernie gets the nomination, he has no shot, man. Bernie will demolish him. Bernie has more individual donors than anybody. You know, he's raised more money than any individual candidate. So I'm not really worried about the election. I just wish the Democrats had a little bit more of a spine. So whatever. My Sweeto.
Not just the Democrats, the Republicans. Like, I know so many of them don't approve of Trump.
Yeah.
But they publicly approve of him.
Yeah, it just goes without saying on the Republican side.
They're all spineless.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. They all suck. The moderate Democrats and the Republicans are, as far as I'm concerned, are one big group that I hope they all get thrown out of Congress.
I think Trump has shown how spineless they all are.
Yeah,
like, he's come in there and he's run shit, but
yep.
Like you said, when like a leader like or whatever his name is in Turkey like steps up to
Erdogan.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't try and pronounce his name. So like he steps up to him, like Trump backs down, like I'm sorry. Yep. You know, like
he's a coward.
All his bluster and everything else is because he's never heard no for the most part.
Right, right. Let's move on to my Sweeto real quick, guys. Finally getting my car fixed. You guys know the saga that is Progressive Insurance that I quickly dropped. That's another Sweeto. I got insurance that was half the rate, and I get better insurance with a half of a deductible. So instead of having a $500 deductible, I only have a $250 deductible. I got more insurance, and I got it for a longer period of time because Progressive sucks. So fuck Progressive, and I'm finally getting my car fixed because it's going to cost Progressive more money. So fuck them. I got a real quick question. We're not really going to have a huge free-for-all. What is your favorite modern RPG? I know we all have our favorite, like, post or pre-modern RPGs like Final Fantasy and, you know, for me it's like Dragon Quest VIII. But I'm talking about, like, really modern RPGs. What is your favorite? I'll start with you, Eric.
Favorite RPG, like,
games?
Yeah, just one game. If you had to pick one modern RPG, what would it be?
Dragon Quest XI. Yeah. That's modern.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a good choice. What about you, Break?
I want to see Fallout 4, but that's like fine. The latest Fallout came out and it was a big, you know.
No, Fallout 4 is modern. I would consider that modern. For me, I went back and forth between Skyrim. I think Skyrim is a fantastic game. Glitches, you know, galore, I know, but it was just a great, great game. What was the one that was? Persona. Persona 4 or 5. I mean, those are just great, great fucking games. So, you know, what else? Yeah, I know. I knew Fallout would be yours, Breakman, for sure. But I just thought it was an interesting question.
Yeah, I mean, the only other RPG I've been playing, I play a lot, is probably the Record Keeper.
Yeah,
which I love that they always update. Like, they keep adding new stuff. Like, they just added new stages just last week.
Yeah, no, I love games like that keep updated and, you know, stuff like that. But that's all I got for you. Did you guys have anything else before we went on to plugs?
Dungeonbuster says Pillars of Eternity 2 is his.
You know what, Dungeon? I have Pillars of Eternity 1. I want to get through that. And then because I know it's a solid, I started Pillars of Eternity 1, and that it is, it's a good game. I don't have Pillars of Eternity 2. I'm kind of waiting for a sale on that. But I heard like Pillars of Eternity 2 takes it up like, you know, 15 notches. So he says Greedfall was surprisingly solid too. That's a free to play game. I think that's correct. Greedfall's a free-to-play. But all right, let's move on to our plugs. Let's start with Breakman.
You can follow me at RPGrinders on Twitter and at Breakman on Twitter. And you can follow at DropBearBytes, and that's B-Y-T-E-S, not B-I-T-E-S.
Yeah, yeah. Dungeon says Shadowrun Hong Kong's also awesome. Yeah, we were talking about Shadowrun. There's people working on Broken Roads from Shadowrun Dungeon, so that's awesome to hear. All right, Eric, your plugs.
I'm gonna plug not supporting Blizzard because fuck Blizzard.
Except for Diablo, I'll make an exception for Diablo, but everything else.
No, I wouldn't even do that because you could just play Path of Exile instead.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Or Pillars of Eternity.
Or any of the other games that are like Diablo.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Like the upcoming Darksiders Origins.
Yeah, yeah, you could do that. And BlizzCon is coming up too, Dungeon says. Yeah, perfect timing, Blizzard.
If I do get around to playing Diablo 3, I'll buy it used, and I won't play online because that requires making a BattleNet account. And fuck Blizzard, I'm not going to use your BattleNet account.
Yeah, there you go. All right, what else, Eric? Anything else you want to plug?
But that'll be many years from now, though, because it'll take a long time for that game's price to go down. Yeah, I mean, it has had sales, but it's only been, like, half off. I'm looking for, like, $20 or less.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to plug my Patreon. I write reviews for games on sites like BostonBasherBrigade.com, TotallyGN.com, and VogNetwork.com. If you like what I've written and you want to support me, even if something as little as a dollar would help me.
Yeah. Just search Eric Kelly on Patreon and throw Eric a bone. He's a great writer, does really good work, works his ass off to get reviews out to various sites like Bass.
Been writing the last 2 weeks because my life has been consumed by embargo game and sickness.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Thanks everybody in chat. I know Freak 5 was in there. Of course, our good friend Dungeon Buster was in there. Let me look at chat here. Come on, man. What's going on? Okay, there we go. There's some other people in there. Alfred Judocus 817 was in there. Thank you very much. That's a first timer. Angel of Light, thank you so much. Commander Root was in there. And I mentioned Dungeon and Freak and Windsuck was in there. Thank you all so much for joining. Hope you enjoyed the interview. If you're listening on the archives, I hope you enjoyed the interview as well with Craig. Thanks very much to Craig from Drop Bear Bytes. and his game Broken Roads. There, that's an RPG to keep an eye out. It's a post-apocalyptic. We hope that you enjoy the interview with Craig. He was fantastic and explained a lot about what is shaping up to be a very intelligently designed and a very intelligent story and some great artwork on Broken Road. So if you're listening on Archives, make sure you check that out. There's a trailer on YouTube. Just search Broken Roads, Drop Bear Bites. And I think Breakman already mentioned their Twitter, at Drop Bear Bites, B-Y-T-E-S. And you can get the trailer there as well. Do you guys have anything else?
It's food quest time.
It's definitely food quest. Oh, you can follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches. And if you want to add me, my gamer tag on all the systems is RP Grinders. So, you know, thanks everybody, so much. Anything else, gentlemen?
I just want to say it's really hard to get this really close to the mic without making a noise.
Also, it's probably a good idea to start getting your flu shots.
Yeah, I need to get mine, but I have to pay full price for mine. But yes, get your flu shots for sure. All right, stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. Till then, we're out.
Cowbell.
I was going to see if anybody interrupted. I didn't want to do it.
I want to do it.
Cowbell style.
The power of the cowbell compels you.
Hope you guys enjoyed that interview. Yeah.